Thank you, Madam Chairperson. My name is Ted Bone and I'm the Executive Director of the Chani Fund. We were informed that one of the key issues to be discussed in this hearing is the Ekurhuleni project, also known as Hazelbean. So we have come prepared to speak primarily about that, but also about the more general issues that we were informed were discussed in the previous hearing. Just to give some background, who we are and who the various role players are. The South African Homeless People Federation was a nationwide federation of women's savings schemes that was started in 1991. It split into two groups in 2005. The group that we continue to support is the Federation of the Urban Poor, which we strongly believe represents the majority of the South African Homeless People Federation. It is the South African affiliate of Shack Dwellers International. It entered into a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Housing in 2006 and has received the pledge of housing subsidies to pilot its model at scale, which is currently being implemented in conjunction with the provinces. Shack Dwellers International is an international network of similar federations to head up in Africa, Asia, and Latin America, and it is currently recognized as one of the leading role players in international work on slum upgrading and informal or regularizing informal settlements. The South African Homeless People Federation, which the group which continues to call itself that, is actually a Section 21 company that broke away from the majority of the federation in 2005 and was founded by federation leaders based at the Victoria Mkanga Development Facility. Wuchani Fund no longer works with that group for reasons of principle and reasons of practice. But we continue to support FedUp as a non-profit company which manages housing finance and various other administrative issues on behalf of FedUp. Our basic principles are to maximize the role of poorest women in housing development, to encourage participation in regular savings activity. Most importantly, to try to encourage a grassroots-driven approach that does not involve gatekeeping, that is highly transparent and non-hierarchical. We try to focus on creating positive partnerships with government and other stakeholders and to find win-win solutions. We're not interested in protests and we're not interested in fighting with government. We try to find solutions with them. We do not encourage the development of official leadership structures. We rather try to encourage activity by local savings schemes and leadership by example. Would China Fund exist only to support these activities? We are not ourselves a membership organization. We're not a CBO. We have no members. We are a non-profit company that supports the Federation of the Urban Poor, because I think that has been a matter of some confusion in the past. Some people refer to Chani members, that there is no such thing. The brief history of our organization and our work. An NGO called People's Dialogue was founded in 1992 to assist the formation of such savings schemes and learning through networking amongst them. The Homeless Federation itself was founded in March 1991, with the initial regions being in some of the inland areas as well as KwaZulu-Natal. The Cape Town and Western Cape regions formed much later, in late 1992. Uchani Fund itself was founded in 1995 to manage housing finance, including subsidy-free finance loans and eventually subsidies and so on. In 1997, we signed an agreement with the national government and received a grant of 10 million rand originally made by Minister Slobo. And in that agreement, the government undertook to supply subsidies for Federation housing development. Between 1995 and 2001, we financed approximately 15,000 large houses of good quality and low cost. Generally speaking, they were bunched up in the major urban areas around the country. But they were spread in, some houses were built in all provinces. Unfortunately, we were forced to suspend our pre-finance system in December 2001 because we found that some of the provinces were unwilling to implement the Ashanti Agreement of 1997. We had expended all the capital that we had acquired, and in the absence of subsidies coming back in to retire the pre-finance that we issued, we were forced to suspend our housing development activities. Problems emerged in the Federation, the South African Homeless People's Federation, around the year 2000, when it became clear that there were some people joining the Federation because they wanted to access Uchani loans, but they were not necessarily committed to saving, they were not committed to the other principles that I mentioned earlier. We also found that some regions of the Federation were not upholding core principles, especially in the Western Cape, by setting up what were in effect gatekeeping structures to which we were strongly opposed. For example, local saving schemes not allowed to access or control their own records, being forced to lodge their records in a central location, things that we did not support or approve of. And lastly, when it became clear that we would have to stop refinancing because of the lack of cooperation from some of the provinces, this also caused tension because people who had already been housed or people who had not yet been housed through our process felt disadvantaged, as we understand. This led to a period of self-evaluation and tension between 2002 and 2004. In mid-2004, the Cape Town leadership of the old Homeless Federation secretly registered themselves as a Section 21 company without telling anybody else, and then wrote to Uchani to demand that we hand over all assets belonging to, or that had been raised on behalf of the Federation, by claiming that they were in fact a legitimate Federation. On the basis of legal advice, we refused to do so. The bulk of the National Federation decided in early 2005 that they did not wish to get into an argument about the name South African Homeless People's Federation, and reformed themselves as the Federation of the Urban Poor. People's Dialogue itself as an NGO, which had been in decline for some time, partly as a result of these problems, closed in late 2005. So, contrary to some of the documentation here, the organization no longer exists. Uchani Fund decided not to continue to work or to support the activities of the Section 21 group because we have concerns that I will refer to later in my presentation. Unfortunately, relationships with them have deteriorated very significantly since then. Let me speak now, Madam Chair, about the Ekwepemeni project itself. The development is intended for the benefit of the Hazeldene Housing Association, which is a community or communal property association. Some members are living on site, some remain to be housed. The land and buildings on the site are still owned by Uchani Fund, pending the final legal transfer of the land to the CPA. On the site, there is a residential portion, and there are some ex-farm buildings that have been redeveloped as a community center or resource center. 106 permanent houses have been built on the site with Uchani pre-finance. There are no internal services on the site except electricity and communal toilets. There is access to some standpipes. I'll explain why in a moment. We have been told by provincial officials that they will not entertain an application for subsidies for Ekwepemeni until certain issues are resolved. I will also refer to that in a moment. The main issue, which I'm afraid we have to refer to today, is that there's been interference in this development by the group based at the Kuantanga, the Section 21 group, and that this has caused increasing turmoil and has effectively stalled the development. And we believe that a political solution will be needed to move this process forward. This development started with the land identified adjacent to the Kuantanga in December 1997. The property was purchased by the Shani Fund in November 1998. People's Dialogue then raised funds from European donors to renovate the farm building and operate the resource center in 1999 and 2001. So that it was during that period that the funds were raised and the renovations were done, and from that time onward, it was used as a resource center. The intention was to establish a mixed-use development catering for very, very poorest households in savings schemes based in Port of Heritage. However, from the very start of the development, the leadership of the adjacent Victorian Kleinheit development effectively demanded control of the various aspects of the development. The Department of Land Affairs became involved from 1998 when, under a previous policy dispensation, they agreed to provide a grant to cover the purchase price of the land in order to develop it as a mixed-use development. In 2003, the DLA finally approved this and paid approximately, well, 83,500 rand to us, which was the purchase price we originally paid for the farm. That land still remains with our lawyers, pending the transfer of the land to the housing association. And that would be basically the conclusion of the deal. The funds are held in trust because the land has not yet been transferred to the CPA. We will explain why in a moment, but this has caused great concern to the DLA. In fact, we alerted them to this hearing. I don't know whether they've attended, but they are a stakeholder in this process. The intended use of the Ekurhuleni site was basically a mixture of communal housing association residential areas and for a national resource center, which at the time was named after the housing, or the land affairs minister at the time, Derek Hanekom. It's called the Derek Hanekom Resource Center to this day. But because this center was supposed to be an asset for the entire federation, the decision or the proposal at the time was that the center remain under the ownership of the Chani Fund, so that it could be used for all the federation groups all around the country. The residential portion was to be owned by the Hazelden Housing Association, and that therefore this would entail a subdivision of the site after it had been transferred to the CPA, and a donation of the center back to the Chani Fund. For that reason, the cooperation of the Communal Property Association has been critical to the process ever since the beginning. So to the extent that the CPA has been willing or not willing, or able or unable to participate in signing agreements and so on, that has actually determined the pace of the development to a large extent. At the beginning, when we still felt that this development, or when we assumed that it would go relatively quickly, there were concerns that if the site was not occupied, it would be subject to invasion. At that time, the NGO leadership of People's Dialogue proposed that temporary structures be built to house families who would look after the site, but the SAHBF leadership next door insisted that these should actually be formal houses and not shacks. The NGO deferred to these wishes and agreed to build houses on site on the assumption that the development would proceed very quickly. This is exactly what has been done at the Kuantanga, houses first, subsidies, or rather services second. However, almost immediately, divisions around the development that emerged that began to slow it down. One of the critical issues was that the leadership of the Victorian Kanga group next door effectively demanded control over the development. One of the features or one of the aspects was control over the beneficiary list. They successfully managed to get friends and relations onto the site. The use of the Kanakom Center, the National Federation, and the NGOs supporting them argued that it should be for the use of all federation members all around the country, but effectively the leadership next door at Victorian Kanga argued that it should be controlled by them since it is located in the Western Cape. The underlying problem, however, continues to be fundamental differences about the philosophy and practice of development. And we've noted the documents they've circulated. We note that it in many ways expresses what we believe to be the appropriate approach to development, but we do not believe they practice it. This in turn led to disputes over the land transfer. As I said previously, the Department of Land Affairs funds were to be lodged with our attorney pending final transfer to the CPA. But for about 3 years, interference in the affairs of the CPA basically meant that the CPA was unwilling to sign a deed of sale. The fundamental problem was that the executive committee of the CPA felt threatened they felt that they, if they went ahead and agreed to the transfer of the land on the basis that the Chinese would control the center, that there would be problems, possibly violence. As a result, this prevented CPA from being willing to actually sign to take ownership of their own land for about 3 years. In 2005, the new Luchani management agreed to break the deadlock by allowing the CPA to take ownership of the entire site, including the center, so that they could decide what to do with the center. The CPA agreed to this and signed a deed of sale on November 2nd, 2006. The CPA also signed a support organization agreement with Luchani Fund and appointed Luchani to manage the application process. Luchani gave the CPA full rights to control access to and use of the center pending its final transfer of ownership to them. However, the process of legal transfer is stalled because we've been waiting for the City of Cape Town to issue a rate clearance certificate for about a year. The problem is that the city has been sending rates bills to the previous owner to a non-existent address, and the rates have accumulated. In order for that to be sorted out, they have to do a re-evaluation. And they told us that the queue is too long and we can't jump it, so we cannot, we're waiting for that to happen. We're also waiting for a clearance from SARS for a VAT exemption because the law has changed since the original transaction took place, and the CPA would need to pay 14% VAT on the transfer at this point. During that time, during this year when this delay has taken place, what effectively has happened, in our view, is that the leadership of the Section 21 version of the Federation has been spreading the tale that the Luchani Fund is responsible for the delays, the Luchani Fund is responsible for people not having services, and that the Luchani Fund is not capable of taking development forward. We dispute this fundamentally, it is not true. The reasons why there has been no progress in the development is primarily because of interference from the Victorian Kangai leadership. We feel that they have interfered both in the affairs of the CPA and that they have made contact with provincial and local governments representing themselves as though they were the controllers of the development and us as the obstacle, which is fundamentally untrue, and we can document every step of this. We also feel that provincial and local government have misunderstood each other's role and have been allowed themselves to be influenced by these distortions of the facts and other historical issues in Cape Town. We feel that, and we understand that the provincial and local government are unhappy about the fact that houses have been built for services, and for that reason, we've had to negotiate them with a solution to this problem. We think there is a solution, so it is no longer the primary issue. Another issue that has come up is that it comes to the government is uncertain who should actually be the developer of the services on site, because it is a communally owned, or it is a privately owned piece of land, but the current approach is that the city should be the developer, so we're waiting for a resolution of that issue. But one of the critical issues at this point is that the Section 21 group is currently illegally occupying the Derek-Hanekom resource center against the wishes of the CPA, using the site as an office and preventing other people from using the building. There is a climate of fear in the community. There have been marches. There have been threats of violence. One CPA member has been murdered under a very suspicious situation. Death threats have been made against me and my family. And we feel that at this stage that this issue needs to be addressed at a political level. We feel that the critical issue around this is that the group calling itself the Section 21 version of the Federation is representing itself as having a right to control the development, whereas in fact they do not. We believe that this has led to misstatements and untruths about ourselves being spread to the government and to other stakeholders. We do not believe that they are victims in this situation at all. We in fact believe that they have a role to account for in the delay of this development and others. And we feel that they are primarily motivated by control of the Derek-Hanekom resource center and not the best interest of the community or the development. We do not feel that there's any way that we can escape the conclusion that they are prepared to see people remain homeless and without services in order to achieve their goals, because that is in fact the outcome of what is happening. There are other factors that we feel the committee should be aware of. We do not believe that the SAHBF leadership has been subject to any meaningful accountability mechanism, either in terms of their own activities as an organization or financial. Groups that oppose them within the Western Cape have been systematically pushed out of the Federation. We can name several. At least $1 million in Luchani money, subsidy money, and community savings has been stolen or otherwise misused while in the control of the group's base at Victorian Kangai. This we can prove. there has been very significant corruption in the purchase and use of building materials on a number of occasions, including all that we've made. And yet, the Chinese fund has been blamed in public and to government for the reason or for having unfinished houses in Cape Town. The fact is that the reason there are unfinished houses in Cape Town that we were involved with is because of this loss of money well under their control. We've made this clear to the provincial government for a long time, but the provincial government up to date has not been willing, I believe, to engage us appropriately around it. We've been informed by several savings teams that savings that they had deposited with this group are still under the control of the Section 21 group and refuse to return it, and we believe these are being used illegally to fund the Section 21 group. Finally, they are, as I mentioned before, they are occupying the buildings that we own, buildings we wish to transfer to the CPA and Hazeldene, and using resources that were illegally taken from us and other NGOs. Now, I think the critical point is that these problems around unfinished houses and problems within the Federation process are not unique to Cape Town. Other regions of the Federation have had problems as well. What is unique is that in other provinces, the Federation of the Urban Poor have taken responsibility for these problems and have found a constructive way to solve them in association with government. In the Western Cape, the Section 21 group presents itself as a victim, passing blame on to us in an attempt to mobilize against us as an enemy instead of mobilizing to find a solution. We feel that this is creating a false contestation over resources, primarily the Karakum Center and other assets, including land owned in Cape Town, as opposed to working together to find a solution to these problems so people can be housed. I wish to say to you that the Chinese Fund has no interest whatsoever in any conflict with anyone. We have nothing to gain by being in an argument with these women. However, it is not possible for us to solve this problem at an administrative level because it's not an administrative problem. There is an urgent political intervention needed to resolve the issue of the illegal occupation of the site and the interference in the affairs of the CPA, and that is not a problem that can be solved by administration. It's going to require political intervention. We feel that the subsidy process for the Ekurhuleni development should be fast-tracked, and we are willing to surrender our development rights after the development to a third party appointed jointly by the CPA, ourselves, and government in the interest of seeing the development move forward. We feel that the leadership of the Victorian Kaive group now running this Palestinian Homeless People's Federation Section 21 should be investigated, and particularly accounts under their control should be audited, and an investigation into their activities conducted. Finally, we feel that the provincial government, the Department of Local Government and Housing here in the Western Cape, must make a good faith effort to understand these kinds of issues and end what is effectively an unstated policy of bias against us. We have on a number of occasions tried to get the Department of Local Government and Housing to listen to our side of the story. We have submitted dozens of documents without any response to the department saying, this is what we believe is happening, and we would appreciate it if you could work with us to try to resolve it. And yet, I think as happened in the last hearing where we were not present, officials continue to be extremely hostile against us. That's what we have to say so far. With your permission, Chairperson, I'd like to hand over to my colleague, Rose Molokwane from the Federation of Urban Poor.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think what Chet has already alluded here is the truth of what is happening between the Section 21 and FEDAP. I remember when we started the organization, we were invited in the conference in 1991 as it is stated. And then in 1992, we went to India as a team of the people from the communities to go and learn from the Indians how to organize poor communities. And then when we came back, we started to organize the same things in 1992. And we were chosen because we created a structure. Myself and Patricia Matolengo from Victoria Mtanga was identified as the national chairperson for the 10 South African Homeless People's Federation, and Patrick Hansley was identified as the president of the organization. So what we were organizing ourselves, as it was stated, back in the situation where we wanted to restructure our organization, because the more we were growing, the more the structure needs to be enhanced. Then we agreed to have a restructuring process where we have to establish the structure that will be the management structure or the facilitation structure of the organization. And then by that time, yes, we did it throughout the South African Homeless Federation. And when the time came to implement the structure, that's where the problem came between the leaders of the organization, whereby some of the leaders wanted to be seen as the top leaders and no one should listen to them, wanted to decide on behalf of the people. When we were arguing to each other, we were saying, if you are a leader in this organization, you have to be directed by the agenda from the community. So what happened, why we were divided, it was because some of the leaders, I don't know whether they were influenced or it was out of their mindset to say the decision should come from, we were calling it the team of five, because I saw this document, there's a structure that was drafted in this document. And then that is the structure that we agreed nationally that it should be the one that should facilitate the process of the organization. Unfortunately, the process of electing the team of five was a bit slow, because we were supposed to follow the process of going to the saving groups, visiting the network, electing facilitators from the saving groups to the network, from the network to the province, and to the region, because we call our provinces regions with the language of the federation. And then after that, we have the finance team. And I think this finance team is the one that has created a serious problem, because some of the leaders thought that if I'm in a finance position, it means I'm having the key of the state of the organization. So some of the leaders really had self-interest in participating in this structure. So it started to create a very serious tension amongst the leadership. And it also created a very serious tension between the so-called management team that we established when People's Dialogue was about to close. And then in the management team, I remember it was myself, Patricia, Tami, and the others. And then, unfortunately, I have to be honest to say, I didn't realize that the very same management team has put me outside and say, maybe this one is, I'm just saying it was our internal policy, that if they cut me out of becoming the management team, then they can control the assets of the organization. Because most of the time, Patricia was always saying, during the conflict, she was always saying, we are being controlled by the white. They are taking our money, doing all this food. But we are trying to correct each other that. So we have agreed amongst ourselves as the organization that as the federation, we are not going to register this organization. We are a community-based organization. And then if we become a legal entity, there are lots of aspects that will cut us up at the long run. So we had this Ujani fund. And then we said we have to create the board of directors and the members of association, and the participation therein should be the majority of federation members. Then we agreed on that. And we said, which any funds will be registered as a trust that will administer the assets, administer the finances of the federation? That's when we agreed. Then at the end of the day, when we came up with the new structure, we said we will continue to become a community-based organization. Unfortunately, during the misunderstandings that took place amongst ourselves, we ended up hearing people saying, the federation has been registered. So what? Who registered our federation? Because the entire organization, we didn't give any mandate to anyone to register the federation. We didn't have any document with us as the top leaders, like the president and the national chairperson. No one showed it to us. But at the end of the day, we got information from the funders who were funding us, telling us Patricia and her group has wrote a letter to us saying that they don't want them to support us who broke away from them. And said, but it's a vice versa information, because they are the ones who break away from us when we were at the Indizo and the federation was saying national leadership, sort yourself out, because you are our leader. If you come here with us divided, how do you think we are going to listen to you? And it was in that meeting where Patricia Matolengwe said openly that she is not going to be directed by the majority. She says what it belongs to her as an individual. She is not going to say the team of three should not be elected and operate. Then that's where the tension started between the federation, the entire federation nationally. And then when we get this information now from the funders of saying that the federation has been registered, we then make a research to get a copy of the registration. Then we found out that we have been discussing with the leaders, those who have registered the federation, not knowing that there's something wrong that is happening. But after seeing the document, it said that it's already 6 months that the federation has been registered without our knowledge. And now we are now discussing about the not allowing the federation to be registered. And it was a shock to the majority of the federation members. Then we said, but what we should do is that we are not going, we started to say we want to fight our name as a court of law. But we said, we are poor communities, where are we going? We got advice from people that immediately when you fight the name, you should know that you are going to pay a lot of money. And by that time we said, we better spend the money to build houses for the people. We better spend the money to organize more communities to be self-reliant. We are really not going to challenge to fight for this name. Instead, we will write letters to the funders, to the government, to everybody to understand that now, as the majority South African Homeless Federation, we have changed this name to become Federation of the Urban and Rural Poor. But we will continue to use the system. We are going to continue to use the principles that is building the core of this organization. And then we will continue to be the affiliate to the Czech Dwellers International. So what I'm trying to say here is that we heard about this invitation and say, I think it's a long time that the Department of Housing wanted us to come and explain what is happening amongst both parties. So we are saying today we are really feeling honored, and maybe we will be relieved because we will know on how to continue organizing people. We are still sitting with a bit of a problem, especially in the Western Cape. People are calling us in the communities to come and facilitate and support them in the saving group. And then when we visit the communities, most of them are saying, we don't know what to do. We do have savings. Then we said, can you give us, because we always share the information of how we are saving. They are giving us a large amount of money that they are saving. But when we want to get their statements, because we always show each other the statements of savings, they will say, lot of money is sitting at the Victoria Mzenge in the Imolobani account. And then when we want to go to the Victoria Mzenge, we are threatened, and then we are afraid to approach the leaders in the Victoria Mzenge. Because now and then we are promised to get negative responses from the leaders of Victoria Mzenge. And then I remember we had a meeting yesterday. We were having a regional, day before yesterday, we were having a regional meeting with the Western Cape Federation. And they are still reiterating that they really want to have their money out of the Imolobani, because there are lots and lots of thousands of money sitting in the Imolobani account that is being controlled by the leaders at the Victoria Mzenge. And the other, the landless group, because we also agree that we should have the landless federation where they should save towards land issues. If there's a need to buy land, they should have some money to show to the government that it's not that they just demand land, but they are doing something in order for them to acquire land. They even reported to us as FEDAF that they have taken a legal step against their land account that is being controlled by the leaders of Victoria Mzenge. And now what I'm trying to say here is that, as Ted has already said, we really need a political intervention in this, especially in the Western Cape. It is appearing in some of the the provinces like in Mpumalanga and Free State, where the people of the Free State and Mpumalanga are also having a problem with their leader, who was the 10th strong leader of the federation when we were working together. But because the federation at that area, under FEDA, they are so strong that they are telling themselves that they won't allow the former leaders to disturb them to continue mobilizing the community, because the decisions are being taken at the community level and not at the leadership level. For now, with the Ekupumole, we were trying to support
the world issue around us.
Yeah, the last sentence. At the Ekupumole, we were trying to support the Ekupumole to continue with development. But the Ekupumole people openly said to us, we don't want to belong to any organization. Now, we only want Uchani to support us to finish this development. And then as FEDA, we agreed with Uchani to say, we don't have a problem. We allow Uchani to support the Ekupumole project to get finished. And then they will decide at the end of the day whether they will want to call under Section 21 or the South African Homeless People's Federation, or whether they would like to fall under Federation of the Urban and Rural Poor. Thank you very much.
Okay. Members, thank you very much for the presentation. I think we should allow them, as my colleague, to respond if you want to respond on any of this. Before I give members, so that we have both sides of the story on the table, and on the basis of that, we will respond. But I don't want to divert from the core reasons for convening this meeting. This meeting was convened to ensure that the soldier, so the soldier team then will be get services. That is the idea of us being here. So whatever we do, we must focus on that. The challenge is facing the PHP generally, which we had just now. I think she has worked in progress. She can't resolve to it. But I want us to focus on trying and see solution to that project. When people die because they are not serving in that community. So members, please assist me in ensuring that we provide that solution. And this is taking our responsibility to them. One, to resolve the impact. The other one is to focus on taking things like all people. And I don't think we didn't speak where in the court of law. We just want to air the solution and be able to find solutions, because we can see even the solutions.
Thank you, Sebastian. I'm sorry to come late. I'm just going to touch here and there to what the speakers were already said. You are right when you are saying that this is not going to be solved only today. And also, we have to thank to call upon you in order for us to be there. To all what has been happened in the organization, as it was been explained by both speakers, yes, at the beginning we were the same organization, but it was agreed in the year 2000 that we must go for restructuring because of the powers of us as leaders. The organization since at the starting early 90s. Three of us, myself, Rose, Patrick, we've been leading this organization. And also, we've been investing our interest on our leadership. It's not about who done what. Three of us, we are the cause of all the problems. And also, during the restructuring, yes, we counted. It was for the NGOs who have been supporting us. We're also taking pride of our resolving problems among ourselves. And also, they were the ones, the NGOs, who used to influence us to nominate instead of the regions to elect themselves, the leaders who can lead them. That restructuring resulted in the year 2000 to the Gauteng region, we do as a standard speech like this, the speech hasn't started in year 2005. It was started year 2000, year in the Western Cape, because the National Forum was a very country. And the group in Kauten break off and they named themselves Wola. And from then, we tried to convince, and the group become not be successful on what they did in year 2000. When the new incoming director of People's Dialogue, Anita Dwasman, she was having a serious problem of how to work with people like ourselves. In most of us, this is indicated to all the problems which were being facing the organization. And during that time, Anita tried also to insist that the restructuring is the only solution. The only problem we did, it was because we didn't want to invite other organizations from outside who have no interest to what we are doing as an organization. Our restructuring was internal. Three of these organizations, Ujan, People's Dialogue, and the South African Homeless, ran their show with their sister organizations from Asia, like India. In that regard, Anita picked up this mismanagement in all regions, not the Western Cape, when the first region was the Eastern Cape. And we've been thinking that, telling to Ujan, the Ujan needs to make the auditing of all these problems from the bookkeeper, but they refused to do so. The reason we don't know. And Anita picked up again that was driven at us because we being financed by the Department of Social Welfare, the amount of around about 4 million for skills development. And the Wazulu Nadala decided to set up a place where they are going to make informal marketing, which is called Itibaya. And that Itibaya, because Anika realized the Itibaya failed to do what I was supposed to do. And an amount of around about 500,000 was not being accounted for. Because of that reason, Anika tried to get some consultants to try to get this information and make this book. And it was being reported at the PhDT of that year by the guy called Chris. I forget his name. And it was a blow of that report. But most of us insisted that we need to be corrected if we are wrong. But in short, coming to all the water they are putting as a blame in the Western Cape, as we all knew that the Victorian Kainge, now they claim that the Victorian Kainge is the one which perpetrating all this. It was the very same Victorian Kainge that was used as a case study or money making of this organization. At the end, Victorian Kainge, which is now, it was being recognized as a township, even by the city, was not being approved up to today. We are sitting with a hell of a problem, but because we were agreed with our sister organization, and also the Ujan of Victorian Kainge was agreed that as they were insisted us to build before the infrastructure, our piece of land, according to the municipality and the province, because it was a dumping place, they advised us that we cannot build it because of that condition. We can build after 5 years. But our upcoming NGOs who were supporting us, they initiated us because we end up building. And they agreed that if there will be any problem in our houses, the Ujan is going to take the responsibility. But today, some of those houses can collapse anytime, some of them. the Uchanis didn't ever honor their promises. Then it was not because of that, because the Western Church, as they were using the Western Church to all these programs, to share with these programs, and they were betrayed. Now they end up accusing. Year 2001, we agreed that the National Forum was in privilege, that it must go further. And also, we also agreed with the donor agencies who were supporting this NGO that, yes, the Federation can be on its own, electing their own leaders, starting from the group level, and we can see the structure from the document which I was funded. Then that exercise was being started. The very same NGOs who were, are supporting us. The time we're supposed to endorse the document of the restructuring, year 2002 in Northwest, we didn't endorse the document which was the one which we were agreed upon. The supporting organizations, they made their own summary, which they claimed that poor people cannot read these documents. And they started to make their own. And now we didn't follow what was agreed by the restructuring. Year 2003, during the implementation of that restructuring, it was the problem lies. Three of us, myself, Rose, and Patrick, we were being absorbed by those NGOs. We were no longer leaders of the Federation. It was said that so we are going to mentor the new leadership which is coming through. Then we've been working like coordinators of people's lives. And Patrick was being absorbed by URC, another sister organization which was established in 2000. All those, that restructuring. Some of us were not in favor because it was said that, according to the restructuring, when these leaders are going to be responsible for themselves as the Federation must employ their own employees. And the marker of the crack, because the Federation was not registered, the question came up to say that how are we going to employ, how are we going to pay the UIF and all those things if we are not registered? Then the decision was being taken that, yes, the Federation has to register in order to be able to be responsible for the leaders. The reason for that is stipulated clear by the restructuring document that the reason even for the restructuring document, the leaders who used to be leaders, they don't want to step down because their leadership was being linked with the cycles they've been paid. Now people are pushing each other. It's not going to be nice. So that's why the people must come from the ground who are going to be employed by the same team and serve them. Because of that reason, in year 2003, August, that registration of the Federation was supposed to take place so that they can register. People were already being appointed in May year 2003 to work in the offices of the Federation. In order for those people to get their income, they were supposed to know who's going to sign their contract. It's where the problem lies. And they started, we as the leaders, old leaders of the Federation, we insisted trying to...
Chair, with this case, I think we've indicated that we're not going to be in a position to resolve the conflict between the organizations. We're looking at finding a solution to moving forward, getting the project off the ground again. And so I think, you know, one organization is being linked to the other, and we probably have to give the other organization time to respond. It's not going to serve anybody.
very happy with that kind of economy. Honorable, I understand that there's a difference between yourself and your colleagues that you work with in foundry. The most important part of our life, which is the people's culture. It's very painful for us to hear this conversation. Not out there. But we understand that that kind of a solution cannot be found to achieve. And we're not going to be able to do justice from both people. For that reason, I'm not saying that what you're saying is not correct. It's correct because you have your own reason behind to respond to what your colleagues are saying. But because of the issue at hand, this big house is not able to deal with it. The committee on its own should take a way forward on the matter. In both deliberate, we are not going to respond in the previous forum today. We are going to say that's a good goal. Allow us, as the committee, have our own time looking critically at this issue and try to find a mediating solution. We don't want a win or lose tonight. We'd like to come up with a win-win solution. Because at the end of the day, the three people who are building their own house have a home in building capacity. And the strength of both you and those in such a sense, we want to come in success. We don't want to see it here. Let's read it at this point and agree, members, on how the Ekuphumeni project must have been taken. It was easy to get a response. Over to you, members.
So before the members, for the Ekuphumeni, as I'm not yet touched, maybe can't you give one of the members of the name to explain briefly? To explain about their development.
So we're here with you on the 4th of September, 4th of September. The reason why we're thinking starting the department was to find a solution on what the equipment could be assessed to us when we were there and here at the moment. Today we are trying to find a solution, not to live in heaven with us. Can you get a version of that?
Thanks, Comrade Chairman. I must be honest, I'm happy to follow all of this because without proper decent documentation in front of us, we don't have a copy of the first presentation. I believe a copy has been made. But then the second, the lady who has been speaking now, it's important to follow what she's saying because there's nothing on paper. So I wanted to make an appeal.
Don't you have a paper with you? Oh, you've got this decision, but it came late. But Jensen doesn't have anything.
I've got a whole range of documents here, but you don't get the presentation. The presentation that the Chinese fund made has not been distributed to 200 members. So I'm asking, we need that. But the second speaker, you couldn't hardly follow what she's saying. And I'm saying, can that not be put on paper? If you want it, if we're going to try and follow and read through the stuff, we need that on paper. That's really, really what I'm appealing for. But Chairperson, I think, if I look at the agenda, I was under the impression that perhaps the department is here. Either the provincial department would be here, and perhaps, I don't know if there's a way of us getting an input from them as to how they're trying to deal with the situation. But one comment I would want to make here, person, is that I think it's extremely sad that an organization which started out so well is being caught up and has been pretty much paralyzed in the manner that it's being paralyzed. I think it's extremely sad. And I think it's not only about looking at how do we sort out the particular project here in the Western Cape, but I think that we will have to look at a much wider picture at how do we sort out the mess that has been created. And Chairperson, with my limited understanding based on what I've heard here today, I would submit that part of this problem is about access to resources. I think that's possibly one of the problems. And so I think that we're not going to be able to solve the whole mess around the South African Home People Federation. That we would need to perhaps have a discussion ourselves. But I think we do need to hear from the department, if they're here, and if it is possible, as to what have they done to try and sort this out. I'm not particularly the project mentioned.
Morning, Chief. Thank you. My name is Adman Singh, and I manage the new housing project in the Cape Town. As was indicated in the first presentation by Utani, the installation of services in the Aylwin project is problematic in the first instance that the houses being built already. And from a technical point of view, that is quite a challenge. Secondly, the land belongs to Utani and is owned by them. And we've had discussions with Utani to see how we can come to some kind of an agreement with that. After a lot of discussions and looking at all the options, it was felt that maybe it is better for Utani as the owner of the land to stay the developer and install the services themselves. And my understanding was that the last meeting that we had jointly with them and Poland, that they will consider that option.
Okay, I prepared a presentation with the broader issues, but just on this, it seems that we want to focus on this problem. Okay, let's focus on the servicing of the site. It's generally been our policy that we, sorry, I haven't introduced myself, Chair. I'm Rob Smith from the province. I'm just standing in for our director of PHP. The experiences we've had in the past where organizations have done their own servicing, we have some bad experiences, and I'd just like to highlight the problems that can occur. If the municipality is not fully on board and the services are not done to municipal standards, the municipality can refuse to take over those services for the simple reason that they have to control and maintain them afterwards. So if the services are done by the organization, because it is private land, I know that is the issue here, then they have to be done to stringent municipal standards so that they are accepted. And there has to be agreement with the city from the beginning, in this case, that they are in agreement with the level of services that are put in terms of roads and sewers, and that they can monitor it and that they will take it over once it's done. And I'm saying this because we have had a problem trying to hand over services where inferior materials have been used in the past. So if the city is fully in agreement with it, and will monitor and take over and be in control of the standards, that is fine. The reason it's very important is because you can only start doing transfer of the urban and giving title, and that's important to us, giving title to the beneficiaries once the services are taken over by the local authority. So it's very important that the services are done properly, they're handed over to the municipality, and that we can then give transfer of the individual urban, because that's our main objective and can lead to a lot of problems if you can't give transfer of the urban or the services of the municipality. So if that arrangement is, if the city is party to that arrangement, Chinese Party Development Arrangement Federation Party Development, but here comes our problem with province. We have been, a statement was made that we weren't working with the Chinese. Our precise problem is we don't know whether to deal with the Chinese or Federation. We are stuck. I think it's something that the committee is also a little bit stuck with. And we have a problem, A, in that the two organizations may be split today. Let's call them split, different organizations. And this is always the story that is given. It's not our success. The problem is with the historical stuff, and we can't get away from the historical, they were together. The Chinese was managing funding for the Federation and for People's Dialogue. That is indisputable. It happened in the past. The problem is on that there are major problems. We get endless complaints about beneficiaries that are never to receive housing. To their credit, the Chinese in a lot of cases has paid back the subsidies where they weren't used. It still doesn't help the individual who's been waiting for 6 years and then the money's given back to the province. Because now we have to find someone else to make good on the commitment to provide a house for someone. So it's great that slowly things are being cleared up, but the problem is that there is a huge historical problem, and I think everyone in this room is clear with that, with accountability on the funding that happened in the past. Now, it would be very nice to put that behind us, and if we can just close the chapter on that, and let the auditors sort that out, and we're given clarity, and told this province, you can disregard the irregularities of the past, and you will be protected from audit scrutiny on that, then we can move forward. But unfortunately, we do have a history of irregularities on the project. And until those are cleared up, we cannot release additional funding. So we are seen as being obstructionists to China, and I think that's almost what they were leading to. But we cannot get away from the past history unless there's a decision that we clear the books and no one is liable for what happened in the past. I'm just going to give you a clear example, and very quickly, and I'll finish off now, on the kind of accountability, because these are the issues, accountability and responsibility for funding that was given in the past. Funding came from different sources, came from national government, came from ourselves, in terms of the MOU from 96, and all the money was paid up front to Chani. They were allowed to give loans and submit the subsidy applications and reconcile later. And unfortunately, that administrative process didn't work properly. We have ended up with a bit of a mess in terms of trying to match the funding which was given up front to the actual houses that were delivered, and in many cases this didn't happen. What we had on some projects was that the Chinese would go in, and it was a project of 100, they would recruit 20 people on that project and say to the municipality, give us these sites and the money and we'll do it. And that has happened in George Levine Camp, Muscle Bay, the APC Camp, Riddledale, and I think in both ways. Now, unfortunately what happened there is the groups, the Federation groups, which were working with the Chinese as an administrator, didn't build all the houses, but the money's gone. Through Chinese paid some of it back. Unfortunately in those cases, the two organizations are inextricably linked. They're still part. They were managing funding together, they were working together. So, we don't have anyone to hold liable for that money. The director at the time, Mr. Hoffman, said to me when I investigated, we are not responsible for the building of the houses. If the committee tells us the house is built, we will pay. We cannot be held accountable. So I went to try to speak to the committees. On the George Levine camp, I found that there were more than three committees, and none of them were taking liability for it. So the problem from a government point of view is, who do you hold liable if funding does go missing? And I think Uchani has alluded to it earlier, funding has gone missing. There has been some stealing of funding. So the problem here is we have a massive historical problem, and to move forward with it, with the same parties where there have been irregularities and it's not exactly where that happened, is very difficult for the province, and we can be really taken to task by auditors if we give funding out to an organization that has already not been responsible with funding. So that is the provincial perspective. I can give you a lot of case studies and actual examples. Some of them are simple things like a much bigger house was begun with the money, but then the money ran out. And you've got a lot of houses in these projects where it's an 80 square meter house and it has no roof. And it never will have because there's no more money. So it's a lot of organizational administrative problems that somehow they have to be resolved. Or someone must make a call that we put the past in the past and we can write all those numbers and we can move forward. But as a province, we can't make that decision until we know exactly what the situation is. And I thank you to the committee and we welcome this intervention to try and sort out that who exactly we can move forward with.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I thank you that you let the other persons present themselves before we came to the department to give a response, because as you'll realize at this point, there's a lot of complexities around this, but ultimately I do think there is a way forward and a solution which should come through the meeting. So let me start with the Echo for Millennium project first, and it's more a proposal. On the one hand, after the meeting, the dialogue in the Western Cape, we requested that the department meet with the project. We did meet with the South African Homeless People's Federation. We spoke to about six different projects. We specifically went to see the sites and the project and understand the difficulty of having the houses filled, having no tenure, and having no infrastructure, and the frustration and reality that causes in a PhD kind of process. So that was the first thing we did. Secondly, both the province and the city we convened to talk about how we find a solution to the Echo for Millennium project. And I'm pleased that the city spoke about the challenge relating to services and servicing of their property and what their proposal is there. And again, the issue being once the property is transferred, there is an issue of rent clearance and there is an issue of breaking the property up to individual titles. It's currently a CPA. It would need to be broken up into individual titles, which is going to have a cost implication. And of course, the SARS transfer fees and how that gets dealt with. Those are realities, real costs. I don't think those costs can be written off by any of the parties. So that's the first issue, which on the one hand, the city is giving a bit of a solution to. The second issue obviously is raised by the province. There is the challenges of the historical background relating to the Charlie Fund, which I'll talk to in a minute. But the other issue is, who does the province give the subsidies to? What are the subsidies used for? What do they get offset against, and what do they not get offset against in terms of aligning and complying with policy? Because ultimately, I would like to believe the committee is not asking us to break or bypass current policy at the moment. So whatever solution we come up with has to be within policy. You've heard from both the Shani Fund set up South African Homeless People's Federation that there is definitely a problem in terms of the relationship between the parties. And then the question becomes how to resolve this. On the one hand, I think the parties also raised the solution and it was tested with some of the players prior to meeting. Chair, I should also mention that I did have a discussion with Shani about this before coming to the meeting. And then I requested that all of these parties actually presented the hearing rather than the department presented, which might not have been the right approach. We'll just let all the parties put the issues on the table and then we do the solution. So towards talking to the solution for Echo for Millennium, it's quite clear that we're going to need a third party to lead and direct on this project. I don't think Oshani can lead on it. I don't think South African Homeless People's Federation, the city or the province can lead on it. So we need to appoint a third party to bring all those parties together to lead on the solution. The first issue that the third party would have to resolve is around the land and the transfer of the land possibly to the third party or to the individuals directly who are in the project at the moment. And that would require quite a bit of negotiation on who is going to be the beneficiary and who, in whose name it is going to be transferred. But as you can appreciate, that's not going to be a quick process, but it is one of the processes that needs to happen. The next issue, once there is a third party in place and that third party can get to a comfortable agreement, a comfortable and stable agreement that is there between the parties, that would give the comfort to the province to actually allocate and begin to assign subsidies to this project, which the understanding is the province does have the subsidies. They can make the allocation, but they need to be clear on who they're giving the allocation to and what accountability and responsibility is going to be put in place. So one would need to task a third party to bring these parties together towards a comfortable, stable relationship. and then the province can actually assign and make that third party accountable and responsible for managing the administration and disbursement and conclusion of the project and with the subsidy. The department would need to be the one who oversees that process. So we would be the one, at the moment, we have spoken to all the different parties specifically on this project. I think there is a relationship with each of the different parties at this point. So I think we would need to bring together that third party and initiate that process. But we need to emphasize it's not going to be a quick solution. And we just want the committee to appreciate that even though we've seen the project and we understand the difficulties with regards to the people there. Let me then take this a step bigger, because the province and the Ushani Fund and the Homeless People Federation raised a number of issues that are bigger than the Equity Millennium Project. There is historical issues with the way that the Chinese People's Dialogue and the South African Homeless People Federation dealt with and ran the subsidies and the funding that was provided to them. The department is aware of it, and there's been a number of attempts to resolve it, but none of that has led to final conclusions. On the one hand, I came in and got up to speed on this earlier in this year, and I proposed and had approved in the department that to resolve, because it's naturally, except in the Central Province, all the other provinces, you're going to find this problem, and you're going to find this historical issue relating to the Ushani Fund, Homeless People Federation, and the historical debt and the accessing of subsidies. So there's 15,000 ministers built by Ushani. There's an audit that needs to be done to reconcile the subsidies that need to be paid to Ushani versus what work was actually produced. And if what is on the ground to the beneficiary, if there is a beneficiary who qualifies, that that person has title and that there is a structure that adheres to some sort of quality standards. We have agreed that we would start a process of a performance audit of those units. Now, the service provider who does performance audits is the Auditor General. So we have approached the Auditor General as a service provider to the department to conduct that performance audit of all the other units and then come up with a resolution of those units so that on the one hand we can close the account as the province requested on the historical issue. So that process is underway at the moment and we can update the committee on that at a later stage. But that then solves the bigger problem, the history around Ushani and the money that was given to Ushani and the Homeless People Federation project in the past. But again, Chair, it's not going to be a very quick project, but we will be keeping on top of it so that it gets resolved properly. We were originally planning to outsource it to a service provider and then take it to the Auditor General, but given that the Auditor General does this kind of audit, it's short-circuit the process and they should be the ones who can give us a proper solution that is within government policy requirements. So that's on that issue. Let me leave it at that and see if there are questions. Chair, maybe one other difficulty on the Equitable Millennium Project, which would have to be resolved by the third party, is what happens with the commercial portion of the land versus the residential portion of the land. The subsidy cannot be used for commercial portion of the land or the servicing of that. So the third party is going to have to find a solution to that. But again, both with Johnny and the Housing Association, Hazel Dean, plus the Homeless People Federation, is going to have to begin thinking on what it is they want to do with regards to that. So that when we come and request the solution, they already have an understanding of what they want and we can negotiate around that. Chair, I'll leave it to questions at this point.
Thank you very much, Adjit, for that intervention. Mr. Chen, you're on the floor.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm actually relieved that there's finally some solutions on the table. And they do sound all workable to me. I've made a note here, for example, and I guess I think it's touched on it, that it's clear that these organizations are the closest to the problem. And I've made a note here that perhaps they obviously get funds from donors, whether it be government or European donors. And that at some point these donors need to be approached to identify a community or an administrator that effectively needs to be put under administration in order to move it forward. And I had one question, Chair, that was who eventually becomes the owner of the land, obviously has to fund the installation of the services. And then perhaps the answer is in that commercial portion of the land, which could ultimately be used to fund those services.
But again, it's something that, I agree with, that whoever the third party, whoever the administrator, would have to, through a process, identify that as well. But that clearly is far as I'm concerned.
Chair, thank you very much. I want to follow on this, in exactly the same vein as my colleagues from government and state. There are three important issues here. One, we've established, and I haven't heard anybody disputing this, is that the county fund is the owner of the bank. That's a statement of fact. Two, the statement of fact is we have the South African Homeless People Federation and the Federation of Urban and Rural Poor. And they disagree with each other. If I say violently, I'm putting it mildly. They disagree. And three, which is important, it seems to me that that part of government that's responsible for services has taken responsibility for it and is working very closely with the landowner, the Chinese Fund. So those are the three key issues. I've heard already, and to take the process forward, Chair, because I think that's what you're looking for, I've heard already in this forum that FedUp has stated quite openly they are willing to withdraw from this process to allow it to move forward. If a similar statement can be issued by the SA Homeless People Federation, which will come. So I'm asking Patricia, whom I met for many long hours, to consider that very seriously. To take the same approach that Rose has taken, to withdraw from the process. Because there is already an association called the Hazeldean Housing Association. I have never met them. I'm sure the portfolio committee would like to meet with them. And the sense that I'm getting, and again I've never met these people, the sense that I'm getting is these are the people ultimately who will take ownership. What we have to be careful of from our side is that we have to be seen as government as facilitators. And that's the role we can play. I like the approach taken by the city and Uthani Fund, and I think our colleagues from province were saying the same thing. If the three of them can sit around the table, the landowner and the two levels of government, province is ultimately accountable for the subsidy funds, city is ultimately accountable for the service. If the Uthani Fund, province and city can sit down and strike up an agreement and maybe share with the Hazeldean Residents Association, they come back to us, come back to the Honourable Portfolio Committee and report progress. I believe really that will be fast-tracking the process. We can fix the issue of the services. And finally, those people who are without homes will get the homes. And I really believe that this can be expedited this side of Christmas. So thank you for allowing me to speak.
Members, yes, sir.
My first question would be the importance of interrogating whether the two organizations that have stated here, are they really, because each of them have certified, whether the South African Federation is prepared to cooperate in closing this agreement. We haven't had their commitment to that. I think each of them have mentioned that at the but they want to see the closing off and problem solved. We haven't heard whether the other parties prepared and the other involved, whether they prepared to solve it. But additional to that, I had the problem saying that the auditing of other houses shall complete would require the Auditor General to oversee that process, etc. I do not know, maybe not properly informed. Why can't the province, because they are more capacitated than the Auditor General, can't they got inspection teams which go out to certify themselves with regard to the approval of subsidies at that level? And maybe, secondly, whether these both organizations would agree with the suggestion made by saying that Honorable Singh here, that they would subject themselves to OTT in order to sort out the mess, because finally that's the solution to OTT whatever that would be implicated. Maybe we could get that response, then maybe somehow the problem can be figured out.
Chair, I'm looking at this as a slide. It says Uchani is linked to FedUp, I'm not sure what FedUp and their role with Uchani. But what I find strange is that they have land, they say land and buildings are still owned by Uchani, and pending final legal transfer of land. I wonder if they say land and buildings are still owned by Uchani Fund, pending final legal transfer of land. Now, who's the owner of that land? And then I also find out that there's some things like electricity and communal. I wasn't there, Chairperson. I didn't go with the community. But this is strange that they've got services, the land belongs to somebody, and but already we have buildings on that particular piece of land. And it seems fed up here, but it doesn't come out clear what their role is in helping the because there's a problem here. And everyone's going to go back and entertain that problem. But I want to get the role of fed up. What seems the fed up is, because it makes me fed up to a lunch. Thank you, Shepherd.
Remember, please, I think the member came late, but when the presentations were made, I think on the phone. I just want, before Matarem was sending to respond where they would withdraw from this so that allow something to the government's money. For us to entertain what the government said there. The government said they are worried about if, for example, Uchani does the development of services. Whether those services, I mean, one doesn't have the responsibility of putting the services on, but they will take responsibility in terms of claims. So we should not lose sight of that. So that at the end of the day, we would love that the developer of Uchani to do the development. But is the city afterwards prepared to maintain those services? Or will those services be done in accordance with norms and standards of the city? Because that's where the city is, so that you don't compromise the standards as well. But let me allow Matolango to say whether they have prepared to withdraw so that we can do the development that can put on services. The Kukumbeni, so the Kukumbeni, Uchani, and the two entities of government, the responsible for this.
In that question, I'm not sure whether I will be able to answer that question yet. And because even the meeting last night, it was agreed that if maybe this meeting can come up with a private or a private developer which can help, as the city was previously under the community capacity. And also our involvement as a South African homeless, maybe the people of the community must answer that question better than me.
I
don't
agree with that. I think it is clear on the table. We have two entities which have been involved in the process. At the moment they are long ahead. And we are not able in this short space of time provide solutions. The engagement with FedUp and the Federation, such that it needs a better and a deeper discussion. We're not going to entertain here. The issue at hand is a community project, which is the services. We are saying this development can proceed into the providing services if we allow them to do this development in the housing with the two entities of government. If the city or the government oversee the process. But we would like other people, other entities, yourself and FedUp, moving away from it.
allow the process to happen. The Gokumren, which is responsible for their project, will be involved. So, the hand at the back there.
My name is Lee Hong Yeti. I want to make this to be clear that the Hazelden project, the members they have belonged to South African Communication Federation. How are we going to deal with that? Because if you are taking South African Communication Federation away, that the members they have belonged to South African Communication Federation. Thank you.
I'm glad with that intervention because at the end of the day, students were not solving the problem.
No.
Because you are clouding everything. Let me just give you grants, the member there. Let me give you a very great opportunity.
Good morning, people. People, I want to raise this point. The way I hear, it looks like the government seems like they are the angels on this problem to commit. Which is, at the end of the day, we, the people in the government, find the government is also part of the problem. The government knows exactly what happened in the Kumle. There's been a top government official, if it's not the head of department, they were in and out in the Kumle, promising the people on the ground, we're going to come back, we're going to do this for you, we're going to do this for you, holding on those promises until today. Now it looks like, now, after a long time, we've had to bring the attention of the government to the people or to the problems of Fumlane. We have used that much for them. China was far away from us. China is really dividing the people into pieces down there. We don't know where we are. The reason why we managed to bring the government onto the attention of the government to the Fumlane is because of that woman. And at the same time, the way we have told when we joined the organization was that we joined the organization, Michael Lambert and his people were organizing people in the shack. Uchani is maintaining the administration or the books. Now, what I want to do, what to know is that now, or how it's going to be, because at the end of the day, there was something like 2.7 million rand was provided by the government in El Kumling for the services and the land. That was here, I'm not quite sure, but yeah. That was the Minister of Housing. We'll speak on that. For that promise, that no, this thing is going to go right. After that, there were office fights, as we had now. There were some office fights in between China. We never even know for a long time who is China. It took about 4 to 5 years to find out who is China. It was a surprise to us before to show that China is that white man over the day.
Out of order. You are out of order, Mr. Parliament.
I'm sorry, Mama.
You are really out of order. Apologize.
Apologize for that now. So that's why we say that we want to see the government, although we say the government is also the part of the problem.
I'm not providing solutions. The issue here is to provide service to the community. And if the community doesn't want the service in the community, as you are here, you came, we went there, you said, those who don't accept you. We took that seriously. And that's where we are. And as long as the dispute in that community won't be settled, it is very clear that no other way there won't be settled. And you must know that you're responsible for that. If you're not helping this community to find solutions, you will be responsible for the impact. And we will go as a community to that community and inform them that your leaders don't want you to understand. Over to you, Chris.
Thanks for that, Comrade Shepherd. And I think that it's not helpful to have all sorts of people talking here, particularly by the tone in which the discussion is taking place. But I want to support the position that you put on the table, Shepherd, fully. And recommend that we adopt that as a position of the committee. That that the two federations should withdraw. You asked this, what are they called? Homeless People Federation entity to withdraw. And I think that FedUp has indicated that they ask him to please withdraw from the process, so that then the city, together with the province and the Chinese, can interact and take this process forward. And I think that we should then, that should be the position of this portfolio committee. But I don't think it would be helpful to allow all the people to speak. In fact, there are two people here. And if they wanted to say any of the other things, they're the ones that should be speaking. Otherwise, we're going to really get ourselves in a bit of a mess here. And I don't think it's adding any value to the discussion. So I want to support your proposal.
No. What I just want to say is that I'm really feeling hurt because of the people's lifestyle. All of us who are looking here, we've got houses, I've got my house through the federation, the health services are installed, the teacher is serving a house, services are installed. Why can't we have that feeling for us? That is why all these years, when we were fighting each other, we said, we are fighting each other, but we have benefited. We are fighting for the homeless. Why can't we give space to support those who didn't benefit? That is why, as Fed Up, when the ex-community people were saying, we don't want to become the battlefield of this organization, we only need development. Then we said, as Fed Up, let's give Ujami as an administrative account administrator and as a landowner to carry on with this development so that the poor in that community can also benefit as us. And I'm still appealing that let both of us withdraw from this development. There is a housing association that was elected by the people themselves to drive the development. I'm appealing that we really give space to the housing association to deal with their own development, supported by the parties that we have raised. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mark, very good.
Chairman, I have one, but I think I'm also going to support what the department and the provincial department. Personally, I cannot allow an organization that is irresponsible. The department has, I think, has proven that Ushani cannot handle funds. There are some irregularities. So I'm also supporting what Greg has said, that this organization does have to hold back a little bit, and then both the local department and provincial department take over as an administrator for the whole process. I think we'll find a way forward.
First of all, before I just respond to the general questions about Ushani, I'd like to just summarize what our position is about Eco Community Development. We are completely in support of the idea that the two competing federations withdraw, and that the Community Property Association, the members of the association, be the ultimate decision-making as the way forward. In fact, the committee of the CPA, the executive committee that has been elected in terms of the constitution, is not represented here today. I understand that they were concerned, there were reasons why they didn't come today. But I do believe that they should be the decision makers, and we fully support that. Secondly, Ushani is entirely prepared to see the development finalized by a third party with our full support, as long as we can recover what funds we've invested at a reasonable rate, because those funds are intended for further housing development. The third is that the national government facilitated a pledge of housing subsidies to the Federation of the Urban Poor, including 1,000 housing subsidies in the Western Cape in order to scale up this model. My understanding is that Fed Up is prepared to cede subsidies from its allocation to this development to ensure that this development can take place, even though the people are not part of Fed Up at the moment. So those subsidies, as I understand, have been ring-fenced, in other words, Fed Up is saying that there are subsidies there. If that will speed the process up, they will give up those subsidies for their members and have it be used for from them. We have already commissioned a design of services, as I think the province and city know. They were designed by Zella DKE. They are completely up to city spec. There should be no concern whatsoever about the nature of the services. We have no intention of installing anything other than specified services. The last point I would like to make is that I would appeal to the committee to bear in mind that the statements made about the Chinese behavior at this point remain hearsay until they've actually been investigated properly. We deny that we have abused funds. We manage funds on the basis of a model which involved management of funds at community level, and as I said earlier, those funds were abused at community level. The Chinese Fund has made it clear to the province in numerous communications that we are prepared to return those. Any subsidy funds abused at community level, we will take responsibility and return them. But we will not accept responsibility for mismanagement of funds on the basis that we ourselves mismanage those funds. And I think that it is important to say, and I want to say it in the right sphere, that we need province to set up or develop a proper working relationship with us. We submitted a complete list of all subsidies received by us, which we compiled and analyzed over a period of months, more than 2 months ago, and we have not yet received a response.
Thanks. It's not a question between you and the province. You should have your meeting with the province.
Yes, I just want to make that up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so first of all, I want to, support the CEO and the open group staff that, in truth speaking, if we agreed upon that, both of these organizations must move back. We need to be clear, because if you talk about this fed up, the Ujjal is still there. The fed up is still there. You talk about the Ujjal. And also what was being said by the speaker there at the back, which is true, left the province and the city to manage. We are quite aware that the Ujjal, because of the misleading of us, is the owner of the land, but let the government to take the full responsibility, then both of us must move there. But if you are saying that we pretend in front of you that we move there, but behind you, using the term Ujjal, which fed up is still existing there, please, I'm fully supportive.
I'm going to say that in the government we have a simple position that says both fed up and homeless. Let government find a solution to the impact. The principal position is that both the public organization and fed government, and that's the resolution of the country. And in that process, let's find a solution that is manageable, because we still need to terminate this land, unfortunately. So we have to deal with the land issue, because the land has to be, somebody has to give that land. That land must be given to those beneficiaries, which was initially targeted for. And that land is in the hands of the sun. And you yourself told us that that land is that must transfer to the musician in the service must be found. But if it means that you are a slaughterhead because Tari is involved in ending, and that Tari's presence means set up presence, this department must look at that. Let's find a solution that is amicable in terms of dealing with that. We cannot ignore that. Let's find a solution to take the Tari's concerns on board and be able to work in that way, because I agree with you both. At the end of the day, one also needs to do with my find a situation that will not leave ourselves to have in that community and protest and all that, but find a solution that people will see service in the community. Okay? I don't think we'll find it here. Just agree in principle. But then we have that. When they're saying they say the Uganda is being fed up today, although fed up has said in the community, so let's find who can in. Let's find a way that we ensure, I think the Sun is coming with a solution. We need to find a third party. As long as this can be done, but who can is saying even here. What are you saying?
I'm covered, Chair.
Covered. Okay.
I think that's yesterday. So we agree what you people are going to do there. We understand it's those entities of members, whatever. That's not important. What is important is to provide services to the community. Okay? But thanks for putting those on the table. Is there any other road you have to hand up? I was trying to clarify that although we can administer some of the funds for HEDA, we are a social movement. Ujani is managed by the professionals that we agreed to sit there. That is why we say, when the Ekumuleni project takes place, because Ujani is an account administrator, our role is a social mobilization. So we know that when we are there with our role, maybe we can be more influential. That is why we say, let the people who administer funds help that community, because now it is
okay.
Am I not?
No.
Okay, I'm withdrawing. Because I'm in the eyes of the people. Okay.
You know you're ready. You're conscious, you're ready. In the eyes of the people, when they see it, they see you.
Okay. That's
the
problem.
Strong.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I just want to request that Patrick has to make a from Enaga, a media. It's only natural to do so in Malawi. It's natural for poor people to take suspicion. If I see you, I still see the others. They are born out of it. By nature, we are saying. We agree, I think, where the road is a trick to it. I think you stated it clearly, my colleague, would be for the benefit of people. And for the province and the city and national government to find a way of interacting with Ujani that does not hamper the development. I think that's clear. I think these are professional people. They find a solution to that. We have to concentrate on the broader thing, cleaning up our house and seeing how we can mobilize more people to the development for them all.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that intervention. I think I'm happy we got to this point. Let me also, as a comment, to say that we have been longing to engage with all of you. It has been in this committee's agenda for a long time. We're happy that we have arrived at this point. And I think we should get into 2008-2009 with a clean slate on the PhD. We should all be looking forward in terms of finding solutions, in finding one another. It's not going to be easy. It's a work in progress. I think as for now, we're saying that the community development for the PhD. And we're giving the department, the government, the city, that's a very long time to find solutions. And to engage with the community. We will hope you, when you report here sometime next year, early next year, you will be saying, these are the plans we have in place because of the time. But in terms of other issues, allow the community to engage. We will look at the report, but what the member has said earlier on, that on the side of PET, the report that we have meeting here, what led to you registering and this entity, all the concern of others, not the and the rest of all other things that we are explaining. If we could at some point as a community to give an intent statement on the future of what happened, it would help us to look at what the president before us and your and at a later stage with the engagement of the department will come back and see. Because I'm sure the parliament will run a solution at the end of the day. But we're not hoping to have it this year. Just before the parliament closes for the other election, by that time we'd like to have a situation that says we've moved. We've buried the past, we've moved, if we are in the future. With those words, I want to bring this meeting to a conclusion and ask my members to leave and everybody else. The lunch will be provided here outside the cup of coffee. Thank you.
What do you mean?